This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 328. The face of gaming is about to, stay the same? Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we've got a special guest with us talking all things creative, and I'm saying awesome. Yeah, I'm calling it. We've got Ross Thibodeau with us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Lazy Sunday afternoon. You know how that goes.
Yeah, you know, you can't really complain about a good lazy Sunday, you know?
No.
I wake up in the late afternoon.
I mean,
call
late.
My friend to see what he's doing.
I mean, you could. I mean, you could.
Maybe some Chronicles of Narnia? I don't know.
I'm just saying. Red Pib and Red Vines equals crazy delicious. And it's true.
Oh, man.
That combination, it's kind of lethal.
I'm pretty sure it's part of that they did about Sister Act.
The Sister Act one was really funny, especially because, like, the first time I saw the second Lazy Sunday one, I didn't know that Raven Simone was in Sister Act on Broadway.
So eerily enough, she isn't anymore.
I know. And so when they made the That's So Raven, I was like, that's so random. And I thought that was why it was funny.
Yeah, they put the original girl who was the lead back into the show, so now she's...
And then I did my homework and I was like, oh, you guys, Parnell and Sandberg, you're so funny. You're so funny. Yeah. I'm gonna buy you beers.
Yeah, you can't get any better than Lonely Island.
You just can't. I mean, it's just good. Plain old-fashioned, witty fun.
YOLO, you ought to look out.
That one's special. And you know, with Justin Timberlake popping back on SNL this weekend, right. You know he's got at least an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
On the new album. So I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest with you. More so than the last Jay-Z album. There, I said it.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I liked a lot, very much in my heart place. Watch the Throne. I'm a Kanye champion. Even after the weirdness.
Did your heart go boom 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 bass?
No. Because you know I can't stand that chick. But like I listened to Watch the Throne like 3 or 4 times, and there's like 6 tracks on it that I'm like, yes, like I could listen to those for the rest of my life and not, you know, be able to listen to any other music and be okay. But some of them I'm just like, my people, why? No. You don't need to do that.
We're not here to talk about music.
I mean, we could talk about music, but that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is your current project, Ross. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Son of Black's Law.
Okay, cool. Well, Son of Black's Law is, it's put this in the shortest term as I can. It's about a young vigilante taking on the guise of a defunct urban black hero. All right. Mm-hmm. Basically, that translates into you have imagine if Bruce Wayne, okay.
Yep.
Crossed with Shaft.
All okay, right. That would be a bad mother. Shut your... No, you didn't.
Wow.
There
you go.
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
I went there.
Maybe minus the Christian Bale growling.
That would make it so angsty.
No,
but not the George Clooney. Meh.
No, why was he always smiling?
I don't get it. Bruce Wayne is a sad person. He's not a happy person.
Died.
It's just him and the butler. He doesn't smile.
And the butler touches him at night. I swear to it.
Alfred.
He touched it once. Alfred touched it once.
It was an accident. Go ahead. Anyway. Sorry. Sorry.
That's fine. Sorry. That's essentially the core idea. To kind of get a little deeper into it, it really focuses on a main character. His name is Mason Vaughn. He's had some past family strife happen to him, and he's decided to, you know, take the law into his own hands. So when he's not dealing with that, with being an up and coming vigilante who's still trying to find his way, trying to find that image, that persona that's going to strike fear in the hearts of evildoers, he's dealing with the ups and downs of his interracial relationship that he's in with a black woman. One day comes along, he finally meets his his girlfriend's sort of surrogate father, but he's actually her uncle. Mm-hmm. His name is Deacon Black. Come to find out, this guy was like the guy that all 70s blaxploitation heroes kind of took their style from. All right. Okay. He's a legend. He's an urban legend. So Mason discovers this about this guy and sees potential in this once feared image and decides to adopt this image, pay homage to this once great hero, and use this image to fight crime. And he then becomes Son of Black's Law.
I mean, it seems like a very simple, straightforward story to me.
But I mean, it leaves enough open for you to really expand on the universe and the characters and that progression.
Oh, there's going to be some crazy stuff. I already have, the way I have it planned out is I'm doing it as three comic book miniseries. But it's really gonna look like almost like a film trilogy. I have every character arc plotted out. I know how this story is going to end.
Well, that's always good, because a lot of times, like, there are things that I've jumped into both on the comic book platform as well as, you know, animated series and even, you know, full action series, that it's obvious that, you know, a couple of episodes in, they're struggling to find what the ending's going to be. Mm-hmm. And when I'm clued into that, I completely lose interest. Like, if you don't know where you're guiding me from when you start the story,
and I figure it out. I stopped writing fan fiction because I never knew where my story was going
to
go.
Yeah, you kind of have to have
I was that. Like, Sailor Moon's going to die, but then she's going to come back, but then what?
Right.
It's like, that happens in the first 20 minutes of the book. I'm like, all right, so that's the end of the episode.
Wait, you Sailor Moon fan fiction?
No. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. I want to read it.
I used to do Gundam Wing fanfic, too. You can probably still find it on the internet. Not that I'll ever tell you what my pen name was back then.
Well, I'll find
it. Secrets and lies! Deception!
I never did cross-fiction, and I never put myself in my own story, because you know what? Authors shouldn't do that. You can't get with the hot lead just because you wrote it. That's not how it works.
Judgment. Please, continue.
That's essentially the core part of the story. But as I was saying, I have down to the last page of the last book in the series. I know exactly how the story is going to end, what's going to happen, who's going to live, who's going to die. It's going to be good. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say this up front. I am using. I mentioned Bruce Wayne. I am using Batman as sort of a template. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean the recent movies. I just mean the sense that you have a costume vigilante and he's going to go up against these kind of fantastical villains. And but it's going to be grounded in somewhat of a realistic setting. So that's pretty much it. Open the floor to more questions.
Oh, we've got them.
Oh, yeah, we do. Teehee. So my first question is, I'd like some background on you as an artist and the chosen medium that you're presenting Son of Black's Law to us
in. Well, I'd say I got my first start writing. I was but a lad of 8 years old.
Right? Young lad.
You know, and there was a language arts festival at my school, and I chose to write a one-act play. At the time, I was fascinated with time travel. My favorite movie and my favorite movie of all time being Back to the Future.
Of course.
All right. Mm-hmm. I wrote a story about a young man who goes back in time I think there were pirates involved. There was a talking bird. There was a frying pan.
All the things really necessary, really and truly, for a successful... It sounds like Tangled,
but in the past.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. And a man. Not a girl with long hair.
Right, not a girl with long hair. Right. And the witch stepmother, whatever. But
frying pans are essential weapons.
Frying pans are an underrated weapon.
They are. They are. I lost my train of thought. Okay, sorry. But yeah, ended in this language arts festival, and I ended up winning first place, blue ribbon. I think my mother still has it somewhere in her house. Still on the refrigerator all these years later. So I won first place, and from then it was just a gradual kind of feeling my way. When I got to middle school, I got into speech and debate. Okay, so I was doing that. I was performing. And to be honest with you, in high school, I really got into acting. I thought I was going to be like, you know, the next Jim Carrey, but not white. I would be a black guy, you know?
Yeah, we both went through that phase.
That theater.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to Broadway.
I'm
going
to go to some kind of...
Artsy fartsy college in New York. I'll be a waitress during the day. Only eat ramen because I have to afford my tuition. Yeah,
to work and hone my craft.
I'll write a novel, maybe.
I was going to be like the most real method actor that anyone had ever seen.
I would kiss girls.
Only if it was required for the character
development. If it was part of the method acting, I would kiss about anything.
I would go down that path. It's a movie all by itself.
It could, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. When we write the book, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Oprah's going to come out of retirement just to have us on her show.
Wow.
That's how
I don't know. Oprah's... Well, never mind. I'm going to reserve that.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you say the words Oprah and the statement after that is not positive.
Right.
Because the wrath of Oprah is fierce.
She is. She's Moving on. Let's get away
from it. She's a very classy lady.
Yeah, classy lady! Moving on.
All right, so another question that I have is, because you mentioned that our protagonist, or your protagonist, is in a biracial relationship, and I want to know why you chose to have that be a focal point to the story. Because I am a fan of white on brown love. Like,
we are the product. Like, back in the day. Yeah. Of white on brown love.
So am I.
I love the fact that we're getting this dimension that sometimes in some comics they might allude to, like, I mean, Wolverine and Storm, we know they bumpied once or twice.
In one
canon.
Yes.
But I'm like, I'm glad to see, Saga, we're now seeing a brown female alien thing and a white man alien thing. Yep. Cross species, which I really kind of like. So I'm very curious as to why you're making this statement in your piece.
Well, you know, being the product of, you know, interracial relationship myself, that was always kind of something I dealt with. You know how that goes.
We do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, people don't really understand. They don't accept. And then, you know, for those out there who don't know, I live in the South. So
yeah,
that's a whole nother thing.
I know, at least us, we're on the north, so it's not as big of a deal.
Right.
I mean, there's still places
We're on the good side of the Underground Railroad, so like... Right.
I mean, we were on the positive side of that, but still even being in, you know, northern Boston, at times, there's still, you know, the looks that you get, and you know, whisperings, and, you know, growing up, because we're both... Although you're lighter than I am.
Yes, I am.
I would definitely put us in the category of mocha and latte than necessarily rich Corinthian leather, if you will.
Gotcha.
And so for me, because there's an age difference between the two of us, there are definitely more things that I picked up on and noted going through school and, you know, going to predominantly white schools and trying to find somebody to date in high school was really, misadventures and whatever you want to call it.
And me, I'm like, I'll date any boy.
Exactly. And they're all like, hey, what's up? There wasn't so much of that in my group. So when I first came across Son of Black Slaw and the interracial relationship piece, that was something that I kind of gravitated towards because I thought, oh, okay, well, here's something that, you know, very rarely is one of the, I don't want to say catalyst points, but definitely one of the drama points in any story that I've read, let alone comic that I've read. You know, it's one of those things that it's, you know, typically shied away from. I mean, when you when you look at a lot of the popular comics today, even when things are paired up, it's almost exactly like type for like type. You know,
right.
You have dark haired, same complexion, almost, you know, complementing colors in their
And that's why Nightcrawler never really got no love, because he was blue.
Poor Nightcrawler.
Yeah, he's blue. Yeah. So unless he hooked up with a Smurf, he's kind
of... He's kind of out of the running. And he couldn't
go Mystique, because that's his mom.
Yeah.
That'd be
That's gross. Why he's blue.
That's why he's
blue.
You know, but for me, one of my things that I wanted to kind of glean from you is not just that relationship, but I think one of the things that's interesting about Son of Black Slaw is that in taking up that mantle of the uncle and I don't want to say his identity, but definitely trying to pay homage to what a lot of people looking at the panels and looking at the comics would immediately go to blaxploitation films. I think it's really interesting that you have Mason, who is, you know, not black, taking up the mantle of a traditionally, you know, blaxploitation perfect hero. You know, as soon as I saw some of the panels, when I saw Deacon, I immediately had flashes of, you know, like James Brown, and I had flashes of, you know, the movement in the late 70s, and, you know, Superfly, and not so much Panther, but more of,
I did a little,
you know,
one flash.
Your
I had one flash.
Brief glimpse.
Your Joe Browns, you know, the
exactly. Perfect.
You know, and
that's
and I thought, you know, this is really cool because, you know, one of my favorite strips to read back in the day was Boondocks, and then when Adult Swim brought it to TV, I thought, okay, cool. There's going to be a whole lot of people who are going to be really uncomfortable with a lot of things that are going to be brought up. You know, but I really loved kind of the juxtaposition that was going on there, and that, you know, Magruder was getting some shine on, and then that kind of took off, and not just the black community responded positively to it well, but a whole new generation got exposed to it, and then you had things, you know, automatically falling into place right after that. You had a resurgence of old Pam Grier movies popping up all over the place, and I can't tell you how many Cleopatra Jones things popped up in that year, how many people went to Halloween parties dressed up or attempting to
dress.
Well, I mean,
I think in that, with the new generation of people getting exposed to Boondocks, I think a lot of them just wanted to, you know, because humor that is directed towards minorities...
Right?
Unless you are one, or...
Are you pointing at BET? Are you getting ready to point the finger at BET?
My finger's, like, starting to raise, like, it might point. But...
Because we're looking at you, BET.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm
BET,
sorry.
BET, please get T-E-R.
Oh.
Get better.
Yeah.
anyway, but... Because I have a lot of very special, rare friends... And I know...
Like Pokemon, your friends.
And I know... I do. I have like a Pokemon of friends. They're all very unique and different and all that. And
they all
I know
need to evolve. Go ahead, continue.
I would tell them to watch Boondocks, and some of them would come at me and like, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get
but
the
But at least
humor.
They were honest.
Right. And I appreciate that. And I had some like, oh man, it was so funny. They got you pegged. And I'm like, you're really not listening.
No, right.
If you can overly laugh and laugh over everything, you're not absorbing the context that's being presented to you. Because you're not really... You're supposed to kind of laugh, but then think, why do I find that funny?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be comedy with a serious aftertaste.
Yeah, so I'm like, if you're laughing too hard, you're missing the point. And if you're not laughing at all, then you're thinking too hard. Or not thinking enough, maybe.
Yeah, and then you have that followed up with the release of Black Dynamite, which I thought was...
Oh.
The perfect tongue-in-cheek release of a just over the top, ridiculous, you know, blaxploitation here in your face that I really thought wasn't going to get shine, to be honest.
I didn't think Joseph people would come out referencing Black Dynamite.
I really didn't think that was going to happen, and I was surprised when it did, and then I was even more surprised when it got an animated series, but I was like, no, that it's the perfect thing to be an animated series.
Yes.
And right. So when I then heard about Black's Law from Deuces Wild and started looking at that, I thought, you know, the timing couldn't be better.
It couldn't be better for you.
That's what I'm banking on.
No pressure.
That's what I'm banking on.
I mean, no pressure or anything, but...
No.
You know,
I think the timing couldn't be better in many, many ways. And this kind of ties back into what the theme of the story is. You know, having dealt with certain situations in my life, call it corny, call it cheesy, but we really all should just try to get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we all could just, you know, work together, then we could figure out this whole crazy world and hopefully survive for a lot longer. Because if you didn't notice, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world right now. You know, I'm talking like end of the world type stuff.
I mean, meteors are falling in Russia.
Thank you. You know,
somebody's playing Jumanji.
Seriously.
You know?
And they're not playing right. They're doing it wrong.
It's bad out there. You know, so I think now is a good time to remind people, hey, we need to like work together because we don't know, you know, what's going to happen, you know, a week from now, a month from now. Black's Law kind of give you an idea of, I'll tell you where it came from. I was writing screenplays, like film screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote one very, very, I guess it was more of an exercise. It was about a guy who lost it. He worked at a movie theater. Okay. His girlfriend broke up with him because he worked at a movie theater. He wasn't aspiring to do more. So he gets the brilliant idea because he knew how the theater worked inside and out. And he knew, like, you know, the other theaters of that same chain in the town would operate the same way as far as closing down at night, opening in the morning, bank deposits, all that stuff. He and his friends, he gets his friends together. They decide to start knocking over movie theaters in the town, kind of like Ocean's 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy, over the top, crazy stuff going on. Okay. One of the characters was a film student. And he loved blaxploitation cinema. He's almost like a young Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. All
right? And one of his favorite film series was Black's Law, okay, starring Deacon Black. But in the story, I had pretty much taken Deacon. He wasn't acting anymore. He was he had a school for other young actors. It's like Deacon Black School of Acting or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the movie ends, okay? And it ends with the kind of Quentin Tarantino kid. He ends up going to film school, being a success. Well, the first movie he does is basically the return of Black's Law, only it's not Deacon, it's his son-in-law, who's a white guy. So that appeared at the end of the screenplay as like a trailer, kind of think like what they were doing at the beginning of Tropic Thunder. All right, that's how the film ended. And I remember letting one of my friends read it. My buddy Rob Guillory, he's the artist on the Image comic called Chew. I let him read it, and he saw that, he picked out that last part, and he said, "Okay, this right here, this is something. You need to do something with this." I was like, "You think so?" I was like, "I don't know. That's kind of crazy." He's like, "No, trust me. this is something."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there, and this happened in summer, the end of summer 2011. So that's how long Black's Law has been kind of gestating. I was like, "I don't know, man. I don't know." Several months went by. All right. I decided, you know what? This is last spring. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start writing this. As a comic book, though. So I wrote like the first issue, and I realized something. One, it was really fun to start writing a story like this. And two, I could actually say something writing a story like this. So I let him read it. I let my then girlfriend, now wife read it. Everyone loved it. Okay, everyone got it. They loved the title. Started thinking to myself, you know what? I think I have something here. But as I was writing it, there was always that moment where, man, I think I'm going to offend some people. I think this is, right. I think I should not do this. I think maybe I shouldn't do this. Because initially the story had, it was very heavy when I heard the first few drafts. But as I kept polishing away at it, it became lighter. And I was masking the message that I'm trying to get across with layers and layers of ridiculous comedy, satire, action. You got this Batman-esque Bruce Wayne character. It was buried all underneath that. But in that, much like Boondocks and to a lesser, lesser degree, even Tarantino's Django Unchained, beneath all that, there's a message there. And it's not in your face, but it's definitely there, you know. So that's where we are today. I found an awesome artist. He's a vet. He's been in the business for about 17 years. He was with, he did Wetworks and, can't remember that, Godstorm. That's a recent comic. His name is Jason Johnson. Matter of fact, Deuces Wild convinced me to hit him up via Gmail. So mm-hmm. I hit the guy up, sent him the script, fell in love, fell absolutely in love. And the funny thing is, he's a white guy. Right. So
if you could sell him, then you're good. You're golden.
Oh yeah, exactly. So that's where we are. He's been hammering away at images, and he nailed Deacon right the first time. When he sent me that first penciled image of Deacon Black, I literally, like, a tear almost rolled down my cheek because it was so perfect. And then it's been a good relationship between the two of us. He really gets it. He understands the story. He digs it. It's just now it's I guess we're having some growing pains because at this point, this means so much to me, but,
right. It's your baby.
Right. And we're trying to, in case you guys don't know, to get a comic book made, it's pricey. It's expensive. Okay. Cause you have to pay the artist. That's where the majority of the money goes, to paying the artist. Okay. And that's his job, you know, that's what he does for a living. So trying to get him compensated and then trying to get the book out has been a challenge. That's why I'm doing the Indiegogo campaign. Uh-huh. Indiegogo.com, keyword search, Son of Black's Law, you can find it. That's why we're kind of doing that, to kind of help with some of the cost. Because, again, I really think this story – I feel like there's a place for it. You know, I really feel like there's a place for it in the media right now. And if things like Boondocks and Black Dynamite and Django Unchained and all that stuff can, you know, become something, then I definitely feel like this can become something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad that you brought up the Indiegogo campaign, because, I mean, you always hear about Kickstarters. Kickstarter here, Kickstarter there, and obviously, you went a different route with that, but I mean, how does the system work? Does it have perks in place, kind of like Kickstarter does? Like, if you donate so much, you get a certain thing, or like, explain that to us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's. I prefer it a little bit better than Kickstarter, because unlike Kickstarter is all or nothing. Kickstarter is like going to Vegas with $10 in your pocket.
Yep.
You know, with no other way to get home, no other money, and you go and bet all that money. And, you know, it's a gamble. It's all or nothing. So let's say, for example, Kickstarter. And I'm not knocking Kickstarter. It's great. But I'm not – at this point, I don't want to take that kind of risk. Let's say I set my goal for $5,000 on Kickstarter. Okay? I run my campaign for 20 days long. If I only get $4,999, okay, and my campaign ends, I didn't reach $5,000, I'm not going to get any money. At all. Okay. So that's like a huge gamble to take. All right. Whereas Indiegogo, it's a little more flexible. All right. You can set your goal at whatever, you know, you want to set it at. And you can either choose to have it to where if the campaign ends, you don't reach your goal, no money's exchanged, or you can do flexible funding where you can set your goal. Even if you don't reach that goal, you still get something, you know. And that's the most important thing. We just need something to really kick this off, get the ball rolling. And yes, for contributions, you can either choose to just contribute out of the kindness of your heart, or you can contribute and get some cool swag in return. I mean,
swag.
We are swag fans.
I mean, we've got posters. We have trading cards. I mean, who doesn't like trading cards?
You know what I mean? Not us. We like trading cards. We also like posters.
Oh God, you love posters.
Fucking love posters.
I think I'd love to see you get a Son of Blackstock poster and put it at your job.
Yeah, my day job would good.
You'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, I am the affirmative action at my day job.
Well, and then there's three to choose from. There's one that Jason did, and then there's one that my buddy Rob Guillory, he did, and then there's one my other friend, Cody Chamberlain, he did. So there's three to choose from, or you can get all three of them. And they're not small. They're 24 by 36.
That's a nice size poster.
Full color, gloss, all that good stuff.
All that shine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll get sketchbook with the original script for the prequel comic. You can get a digital download of the prequel comic. And I'm going to tell you right now, the prequel comic is necessary. The reason why, it sets the story up. You get to see what made Deacon Black. You get to see him in the middle of action, and then you get to see what made him retire all those years ago, why he retired, what you know, his choice for doing that and letting the vigilante game go. All that is in that prequel comic. It just sets everything up. So kind of need that, you know, if you're going to follow the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much all. Oh, and I also have original artwork by some of the guys that did the posters. Up there as well. And I know, probably looking at those prices, it's like, oh, for some, you know, original artwork. Honestly, it's usually more than that. So you're actually getting a good deal on their original artwork. So, yeah.
Yeah, because original artwork, that is the thing, right? You know, that typically gets me to have to whip out the American Express when I want to pick that up. And I think that it's really cool that with the different levels of, you know, sponsorship, basically, that people can do. There are really very interesting things that you get at all the different levels, whether it's, you know, the trading card piece or a piece of the original art, because those are the things that, you know, I always miss when I look at comics today. You know, I keep up with about three or four different series that I still really enjoy, and the majority of those I get now digitally because it's just easier for me to read them on the go mm-hmm. on my iPad than to carry comic books around, especially because, as Panda will tell you, when it comes to my comic books, I am so anal retentive, it hurts.
Oh, yeah. Don't even look at the plastic covering unless you have the purest intentions at heart.
You really... I sometimes have, in fact, required that people wear gloves when opening some of my comics out of the plastic, but they're pristine for a reason.
You didn't have to stare at me so aggressively.
I
wasn't like eating Cheetos going, let me turn that page for you. Right. Come on.
Potato chips have oil. They have just as much oil as a Cheeto. Don't give me that look. But anyway,
Cheeto dust is lethal. You gotta watch.
But it's delicious. You know, I was really kind of taken aback when I first learned of the project that you were doing it as a comic book. You know, mm-hmm. because it seemed to me, as I looked over the story, that it definitely lent itself for being a graphic novel, at least to me, in my head, or as much as I want the story to be done, especially when looking at the different perks and having the prequel comic as being one of the things that you could get at a different level of sponsorship. I thought, you know, it made so much sense to me to be more of a graphic novel than necessarily a comic book. And in today's market, you know, where everyone is crying that print is dying, I was really curious as to what moved you to go, this is definitely gotta be a comic.
Well, it kind of brings me back to why I stopped writing film screenplays. I did two short films locally. I wrote two short film screenplays. Did pretty well. Had a, you know, decent following, decent audience, decent attendance. But one of the second experience, it wasn't. I'm not going to say it wasn't pleasant, But there were some growing pains, and it left a sour taste in my mouth when it comes to filmmaking and writing screenplays per se. So I'm looking at Son of Black Stone. I'm thinking about the idea. And initially I thought this needs to either be some sort of mini animated series or a movie. And it's funny because everyone that I let read it, I say everyone, it's only a handful of people. They all say the same thing. I could see this being a movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's pretty much why I went the route of a comic book. Cause I figured with the connections that I have in the comic book industry, those people that have already kind of made it a name for themselves and things like that. And I figured it'd be a little easier to get this out as a comic versus trying to do it as a film. And you mentioned graphic novel. Essentially, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're looking at different ways of distributing it. If getting a publisher doesn't work out, we're just going to go the digital route. Mm-hmm. Okay. Release each issue. And then when we do that, then we'll sell them maybe like $3 a pop or something. And then once all of them are out, what we're going to do, we're going to put them all together and then print them and release it as a big, nice, pretty graphic novel with all kinds of great stuff, original scripts, sketches, and lots of bells and whistles inside.
I love bells and whistles.
That's why they get books, because they make me feel smart. But no one knows if there are pictures in them.
I thought you were going to say, and you cannot lie. I was ready for that, but
nope. I love it, because when you're sitting there at, you know, your Starbucks, and you've got a big book, and like, it's got a beautiful cover, and if people don't know, it's like, wow, she's reading a really big, extensive book.
No, what they see is pictures. What they see above your head is the glowing hipster
signal. Yeah, there it is. Right there.
I mean,
right
wearing my panda hat, I mean, it's obvious.
Even without the panda hat, I'm sorry, but you just scream hipster.
Panda hat, glasses, hobo gloves.
What? They're not hobo gloves, they're just fingerless gloves.
I have 5 pairs. I'm just saying.
Oh, all right.
Just accept it. You just need to accept it.
I only have
it.
1 pair.
You just have to accept it about yourself. You'll be so much happier in life.
Yeah, you would.
Just own it.
Yeah.
Wear it with pride.
A huge weight will be lifted off of you.
Off my shoulders.
Just right, it'll come right off you. Like,
I don't know if I'm
ready. Oh, I understand now. That's why I like Coldplay.
I liked Coldplay from the...
Go ahead, say it. Say it.
From the beginning?
Yeah, you did. But for me, like, I love things that are a little more cerebral, that are a little bit more in the head, that make me think. You know, if I can come out of something... Yes, absolutely having a laugh, but also thinking a little bit about something and maybe a little bit of a different way, then I feel entertained. I feel like I got my money's worth, and I really end up enjoying something. And I myself just can't wait to read this. I'm really looking forward to the story. I wish you just complete success with it. I was floored when I saw the panels. As soon as I saw Deacon and I saw the write-up, I was like, I have to read this.
The fact that the minute I saw the panels, I was like, I can totally know exactly what I'm doing for promotion before our show.
Like, she was instantly so excited. She's like, I know exactly where this is going. I was like, okay, go ahead. Boo.
So, I mean, in terms of the campaign, is it already in full swing now? Is it going to be starting soon? Like, give us those details so that we could spread that around like Johnny Appleseed.
No, it is up and running. It's been up for about 11 days, and it'll be up for another 29 days. So it's a pretty long campaign. But we want to try to get the most of what we could get out of it. Again, that's Indiegogo.com. So a keyword, Son of Black Slaw, it should pop right up. Now, I'm be honest, guys.
We'll put the link up in the notes.
Oh, great. Perfect. Even better. I'm going to be honest, guys. It's low. You know, our what we have in the bank is low. It's a low amount. But we're appreciative of every red cent. But, you know, in order for this to happen sooner rather than later, we need to get that number up, you know. And I know that goal may look intimidating on there, but put that out of your mind, okay? Just whatever substantial amount we can get a hold of to get this thing up and running would be greatly appreciated, you know.
So what is your goal?
Well, the goal itself, factoring in to get the artist paid, to get everything produced, get the perks package shipped out and all that stuff, it's about $26,000, okay?
And that's a lot. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
My college loans are more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
But at this point, I mean, that would be great. It'd be so wonderful if we could get that. But like I said, every little bit helps, you know. So, but yeah, that is our goal, 26 grand. That should cover the entire book. That should cover getting the perks made, packaged, shipped out, and all that stuff. And everyone should be happy.
I think that's extremely doable what you're producing.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point.
For like 26 grand to paint a room in your house.
Right. I have seen Kickstarters that, frankly...
It's like, help pay my bills so I don't get kicked out of my house for 100 G's.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Like, yeah. I know, that benefits me
I think
not.
I think you're actually being very modest with the what you're asking for in terms of what you're producing at the end of it.
Well, we will help you pimp it
as much as we possibly can.
Community manager.
I'm on it.
And also, I want to give... I don't know if he's listening. I don't even know if he knows, you know, but maybe I'll let him know that this, but, you guys, you know, are pretty big on your cartoons, I'm assuming, right? Like, just name a few, like Young Justice, Ninja Turtles.
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Donatello's my homeboy.
If you hear the gentleman's voice, you're going to know who I'm talking about. Kevin Michael Richardson. Okay. Mm-hmm. He does the voice of, Cleveland Jr.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Does the voice of, he did Roadblock, he did Panthro, He actually showed me some love on Twitter about the project, and that I thought that was really cool. It meant a lot to me. So, Mr. Richardson, if you are hearing this, if you are listening to this, thank you very much, sir. You are a stand-up guy.
Aww.
See, now connected people. Now I'm totally going to drop this podcast. Like, I'm going to follow him on Twitter and just drop him and be like, you got a shout-out on our show. You should listen to it.
Just in case.
He is... the nicest guy. He is so nice. It's amazing to have someone reach that level of success and be as nice and humble as he is. And now I feel like this is the Kevin Michael Richardson podcast.
Love
but podcast.
That's okay. It's all right.
It happens.
We shed love.
It's okay.
But yeah,
we don't just curse.
Right.
Actually, this has been a very curse-less
episode. I know. It's one of our fewer, you know, on the...
Usually on the heavier side with the curse.
I blame myself for that.
It's okay. Sometimes I like
Don't worry. We're about to talk about the PS4, so we're going to get the fucking meter really going
up high.
Here in a second.
But no, so...
We should make that on the wall.
We should make it an iPhone app.
We should. All right. Please continue. Sorry, we had a random thought.
That's fine.
I will make sure that we pimp this thing as much as we possibly can. I was frankly taken aback when Deuce's Wild reached out to me. He's like, you got to see this project because I think that you guys, it would be right up your alley.
You guys would be all over this. You'd want to know
and
everything.
I was like, yeah, sure. Let me open my email. I'll check it out. You know, because I check out everything and I love learning about new things. And I really enjoy when people are, you know, trying to make something new and get it out into the world. Because, I mean, that's what we did six years ago. And they were like,
You guys had me at Frogain.
Yeah, really. The Frogain. Like, as soon as I saw that.
Did that say Frogain?
we had to vote. I was like, yes, it does.
And I'm like, all right, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm on a mission.
I'll tell you what, real quick, I'm going to tell you what's up with the Frogain. All right, this is another. And I'm giving you these little plot tidbits, not to spoil the story, but to hopefully hook some people onto this, okay?
So the Frogain. I'm on the line. Just reel me in.
So the Frogain, right? Okay, Mason's dad. He was food additive designer, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mason, trying to live up to his father's name, so on and so forth. Okay. He finds a few of his dad's like old prototypes, old chemicals he was working on. Okay. And one was a food stabilizer. Okay. But it Mason's trying to complete the formula, but he's not a chemist. All right. So what he does, he realizes that this stabilizer, it stabilizes food to the point to where it petrifies it, makes it inedible. So obviously something molecular is not happening properly. Mm-hmm. What he does, he gets the brilliant idea of using that stabilizer on his on his costume, because he wears like the hair like Deacon would wear. He actually uses that and sprays the wig with that. So it's real hair, so it's organic. So the stabilizer works on it. He sprays the wig with this, okay, to where if he gets hit in the head, or if he falls on his head, or if he lands on his head is protected.
It's like a
It's like a helmet, exactly.
A spirit magic helmet.
Exactly. So that's what the pro game is.
That is absolutely perfect.
Because, I mean, the way in the picture, the way that it looks, like, I was like, okay, I'm expecting it to, like, grow the front, to make the fro look really, really big.
Like a chia pet?
Like, in my mind, because...
He's growing an afro.
And I thought it would, like, kind of wiggle like Jell-O. Like, in my mind, that's how I interpret it. And I know that's not right, but in my mind, I'm like, ha, jiggles.
Mm-hmm. So that's... That's kind of that's what he does with it. And part of his arc is going to be becoming his own man. And what he's going to do with that is he's going to actually turn his father's old food additive lab into hair care products company, specifically dealing with hair care products for the African American community. So
if you could work in a Bronner Brothers convention reference, just one, that would make my heart
or
palpitate.
Or a Soul Glow.
Oh, I got it.
Reference.
It's in there.
Yes.
Guaranteed it's in there.
Seriously, that just made my day.
Oh man. So those are some of the things you can expect in Son of Black's Law. And that's all. I'm not going to tell you like what the big plot is. I'm not going to tell you that I have a Carl Weathers-ish character who's the mayor of the city. I'm not going to tell you that.
Nope.
Okay. Yep. All right. Nope.
We're going to have to wait until it comes out.
There you go.
Find out about that.
But,
that's it.
Oh, wow. I'm now really kind of salivating at the mouth.
Son of Black's Law, people, you got to help us make this happen, because this has got to happen.
It has to.
It needs to be a real thing.
I need to get in my time machine and go into the future and make sure that I've got Son of Black's Law in, like, my library.
You need to do that.
Because it
did you
be
fix
there.
It?
Could I fix what?
The time machine?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Well,
flux capacitors are hard to get on eBay now.
They're really not that difficult to fix.
Well, when you don't make as much as you need to get it overnight shipping, you gotta wait.
That Amazon. You gotta go Amazon though. Don't they have the free?
If you do the Prime, you can get the free.
I ain't got no money for Prime. I ain't got no time for that.
No time for Prime.
Speaking of not having the time for some stuff.
Oh, there it is. The segment segue.
I know. So as we were talking about, we want to talk a little bit about the PS4. So I'm so glad
because we have to talk about this real quick. We could spend more time about it next week, but
why don't we just talk about our first impressions? I mean, I don't know if you watched the 2013 meeting, Ross, or not, that they showcased and screened and streamed on the internet or not. But we made a live tweet event.
Yeah, it took us a little while to actually get a stream that worked, because Sony Stream actually died 30 seconds in to the stream, so we had to watch it on game trailers.
It was totally fail.
So it was really funny tweeting about it, because it was like an 8-second delay from when everybody who was able to successfully join the Sony stream. So we're like, oh, it's got this! Because we saw 5 other people just say that a second ago. It's got that! Because...
Right,
Polygon said that 2 seconds ago.
We're just retweeting what other people are like.
Eventually, we're just like, just retweet it. Just retweet it.
Whatever
Destructoid says, retweet it, but make it less funny. That way they'll know that we did it. So in a nutshell, okay, for anybody who didn't watch the briefing.
Or watch tweets about the briefing.
Yeah, or go to Sony's site any moment after the briefing.
Or didn't receive a fax about the briefing.
Or hasn't been on the internet for the last 7 days. The media briefing basically was Sony coming out and saying, yes, we're announcing the PlayStation 4. It will be out Holiday 2013. Okay, those are the big points. Because all of us remember E3 last year, Sony saying, hey,
the
PlayStation 3 is our console for the next 3 years. We've got a 10-year roadmap for the product, blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about...
Hey, do you have a Vita yet?
Have you seen my Vita? Have you seen my blue PlayStation 3 that you can get with the Assassin's Creed game? Huh? Huh? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? It's basically what they did. And then, surprise, surprise, 8 months later...
Eight months later,
or whatever the math is, because I didn't count them.
Eight's a rounded number.
It's
a good number. Eight.
It's, you know, it's curvy.
Yeah, which it's is got, what I like it's about got it. Curves in the right spots.
You know,
I like it.
It's a good number. Seven, you're just like, what the hell is that about? But anyway, so months down the road, February, they come out. I'm like, actually, no, we are working on a PlayStation 4. We're going to tell you about some of the nerdier, geekier aspects.
That only 10%
of you... Not all of the specs. We're going to tell you, like, 5% of the specs that 2% of you in the room are going to understand.
And only 1% of you guys are actually going to be excited about.
Yeah, because the rest of you are just like, hey, it's a free weekend in New York. Whoop, whoop.
I mean, literally, I know while we were watching, I'm like, Ninja, I don't know what they're talking about.
And, I was like, and don't worry about people. I'll tell you later.
She's like, it's going to go really fast.
Yep, that's all you need
to know. That's all you need to know.
It's going
to
go wicked fast. Okay, and then... They drop the bomb, it's gonna be Holiday 2013. And then they're like, drop the mic, we're out.
We're like, hey, look at this, here's the controller.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this thing we
made.
We're
not showing you the box. And there are a lot of people who were pissed off because they didn't see the box. And they, like, went crazy on Twitter. And I'm just in the middle of the feed going, guys, they have to have something to show off at E3. Otherwise, why would they go to
E3? I mean,
E3?
They showed us the share button on the controller for sharing.
You know, I mean, the back button and start button have officially died, according to Sony. They're so
no more Konami code on the
late.
PS system.
No Konami code for you. But you know, the DualShock controller was interesting in that it has a small area that's a touchpad in between.
I just want to know if you're holding it the way that you're supposed to hold a PS. It's like, are you how what? Part is going to touch the touchpad.
The tips of your thumb. You gotta touch it with
no,
the tips.
No, because I'm working.
No. You're not working those like that. This is why we don't do a video podcast, by the way.
That is
you're
so
not,
appropriate.
You're not working those like that. That's not how you work those. No. Stop doing
There's
that.
There's no skill there.
Stop doing that. You know, my thing was that it was enough to wet the whistle, you know, showing off some of the graphic things
the graphic
that
capabilities that this
the PlayStation will be able to do, which do just from the few video samples that they showed, that they claim
to
be running in real time, definitely more powerful than a PS3 as far as real time rendering. If those were in fact real time renderings running and not FMVs recorded of a real time rendering, which we don't know because we didn't see a box, we weren't at
Sony when they did them.
We're going to assume that they weren't lying liars in their lying liar pants, and that those were all real time running things.
I believe you until you. I find out you're lying to me.
But of the things that they announced, the things that were really important to me. That, frankly, they didn't even address in this two-hour-long briefing. Again, they got to have something for E3. Yeah. At E3, you're going to see the box. At E3, you're going to see launch titles. Then they're going to actually do live demos of some of the launch titles. And then at the end of it, Jack Trent's going to be like, and you're going to be able to do all of this for, and then he's going to say the number. And then everyone's going to be like, ah, or ooh.
I think, no, we're going to get a whole lot of,
there's going to be a whole lot of, ooh.
I'd be like, okay, so if I sell my condo.
If I donate some plasma, dump my girlfriend, she'll understand. It's a PlayStation 4.
I mean,
4.
She might come and dump me before I have a chance to dump her because she needs to save money.
Yeah, she does. She's not going to hawk her Wii U either. So, we'll dump each other. I eat ramen for the next 9 months.
Like, maybe I should sell some eggs.
I should be able to swing it. That's pretty much, because it's going to be expensive. But of the things that they said, what I thought was really odd was the things that I thought were most important to get out, they didn't even put in that two-hour-long briefing. The fact that it is going to have cross-game chat, which is something that you don't have on the PlayStation
right
now.
Yeah, but we know we're not getting any backwards compatibility.
Not out of the gate, but it's going to come, because Sony can't short themselves. There are way too many people that have PS3 games that are not going to want to rebuy them to play on the PS4.
Nope.
So they've got to very quickly get
figure out
backwards compatibility.
How they're going to do that.
Absolutely, because people aren't going to buy all new games right off the bat.
F to the no, no, no.
Okay, with the exception of, obviously, if you have Infamous Second Son as a launch title.
People are going to buy that. And people would want to play Infamous before going into, you
look,
know.
I haven't finished an Infamous game. I'm going to play Second Son. I said that.
I'm this close to finishing Infamous 1, and I have to buy Infamous 2.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm going to play Second Son. That's a given.
I want to play Beyond Two Souls. They need to stop fucking teasing me with that shit right now. I'm getting really annoyed.
And the fuck-a-meter goes off. there it is. Just in case you missed it. I called it on the podcast.
I know. You were just like, we're going to sit there. I'm like, I hate that you're right, but I know that you are.
Yep.
And there it was.
Yeah. Because when we saw Beyond Two Souls at E3, the first thing I said to you is that thing looks way too good to be running on a PS3. I mean, the graphics look like amazing.
I was like, I want to play that on here.
You know, and the fact that they didn't have it on the floor, they weren't talking about it, you know.
Nope.
Quantic Dream wasn't anywhere in the building other than to be available for the I was just like,
see, and I'm sure they did that because they knew people were like, what can you tell me about Beyond? And they didn't want to have to deal with that. They'd be like, nope, we just showed you stuff. We can't talk about it.
But they didn't talk about the fact that it's going to have cross-game chat, which I think is
finally
important. But the PS4 is going to have it, and they didn't mention it. In the entire 2 hours that they spent, they never talked about the fact that, oh yeah, by the way, we heard you loud and clear, we've got cross-game chat now.
That's right, because the Xbox 720, you're going to be able to talk to aliens in space.
I don't want to talk to aliens in space. All they want to do is probe me.
Well, maybe you'll find nice aliens who don't want to probe you.
No, they all want to probe. It's very upsetting.
Well, they're just very curious about you.
Well, I mean, I understand.
I mean, I appreciate
someone
being curious about me. They're just
curious. But not to that level. You know, take me out for coffee. We can talk. Like, we don't have to go there.
Why do that when they can just probe
me? Why do you have to go straight to my butt? I mean, let's just talk.
I mean, I'd
hold up for a minute. I would like to introduce myself.
I appreciate it, bro, that way than
my
the other
name
way.
Is Ninja. What's your name? Like, can we have that happen? Don't you be like, whoo?
Well, that might just be awkward. They might be like, hi, I'm an alien. I'm going to probe you now.
See, it's just, any way that you put it, it's just not a good meaning.
It'd be like Kyubey from that anime series being like, hi.
No. No, let's move on. So, I don't really want to talk about probes anymore. But but the other thing that I thought was really interesting is during the briefing, they kept showing and talking about how it's all about the gamers, and you can have your
it's
game
gamer
everywhere.
Gamer focused, but developer inspired.
You know, and all of that stuff. And they kept showing slides where they had a Vita and, you know, silhouettes of other devices that were obviously mobile phones and tablets, but never did they say in the briefing about how things were going to game everywhere and you're going to be able to take your game everywhere. But in the actual official release that Sony put out, they are going to be releasing a PlayStation app that'll be available for iOS and Android, both on smartphones and tablets that are going to allow you to interact with your games, and that at times play games on those other devices. So my brain immediately goes, okay, so let's run this down really quickly. PlayStation 4 is going to have cross-game chat, something that I've had on the PC since PC gaming pretty much began, and I've had on the Xbox since, you know, like, the Xbox began with Live.
I mean, I feel
like
that's just catch-up for Sony.
That's what I was getting to.
Sorry.
Can I finish my damn list?
I'm going to let you finish.
No.
But,
no, you're not. See, this is why we have to have meetings before we do the podcast.
But I sensed that you were going there, so
what,
I just cut to the chase.
Why you always got to freaking Tomcat block me, dog? Why, man?
I don't mean to. It just happens.
Well, shush for a minute. I'm trying to have, like, a moment where I sound smart. And then you
but we
jump
know
all
you're smart.
But I want to hear myself sound smart, damn
okay,
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So, you got that. See, now it's not even going to sound smart anymore. Damn it. But then you have...
I think it sounds smart.
Thank you, Ross. But then you have, you know, tablets and smartphones being brought into the mix, which Microsoft did last year with Smart Glass. And, you know, it kind of works. I've used it a couple times on my iPad because...
I don't have an iPad, so I haven't played with it.
Yeah. But, you know, being able to get some more information when I'm watching videos on HBO Go, the kind of backstory when I'm watching Game of Thrones and, like, seeing the different maps of where I am and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of neat. It's, like, additional augmented reality stuff. But it's not like I'm doing anything game-centric with Smart Glass, but Microsoft announced Smart Glass for their existing console system last year at E3. So it just feels like, all right, so you're finally adding cross-game chat, which I've already had. You're adding the ability to interact with games on other platforms that I already use, like my iPhone and my Android tablet, which I can already do with my Xbox 360. You're adding in the ability to do streaming and sharing of my gameplay, which is really cool that you're building it into the platform, but I can already do that by buying a bridge device, you know, whether it's the Elgato one.
You're going to make it easier for me to stalk my friends when they're on their consoles.
Okay, and they're adding in the connection to Facebook so that you'll be able to share that stuff directly, those videos directly to your friends.
Look at my sister fucking up this one area.
But you'll also be able to share your trophies and stuff, so they're negating the need for services like Raptor and stuff like that. I just feel like there wasn't a whole lot of next level thinking. Yes, the graphics look fucking ridiculous.
And they're beyond Two Souls.
Oh my god.
But a bulge.
Jeez.
Sorry. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like, and I work, you know, in telecommunications, it sounds like the iPhone 5 release.
You know, that's kind of what I was feeling like. It's like, yes, it's faster. Yes, it looks better. It's probably going to be sleeker. But I'm not, and I had, like, the most deep back-and-forth conversation about this with my husband, like, right after the thing, of there's not a lot of innovation. You know, the thing that Sony has been known for years and years is that they innovate an industry. Okay, the gaming platform hadn't been innovated until Sony came out with the PlayStation, because we were all in Nintendo and Sega land. And then Sony came out and completely changed the game. Completely changed the game. And now we're sitting here and I don't feel like anything is an innovation. I feel like they've added in features that we expected them to have because we had them in other places, and they're just making it prettier and faster. Okay? Cloud gaming isn't anything new. We've been doing that. Okay? Between cloud saves on the Xbox, being able to download games on the go between Android, you know, Google Play, and the iOS store, we've already been doing games on demand. We've been getting games from the cloud, from Sony already, from the PSN store, so that's nothing new. You know, the idea of being able to play a game and it not just be a demo or a trial of a game, but actually pick up a level and play because of Gaikai, that's cool. But I can do that with Steam.
You don't even have a Steam account.
Yeah, I do. I just don't use it.
Oh.
Because I play on my Xbox.
Oh, okay. I have a Steam account. Yeah. I only play Portal on it because it was free for Max.
Yeah. You know, and so it just, at the end of the media briefing, I didn't feel overwhelmed like, oh my god, this is going to be like the most amazing thing ever. Like, the face of gaming is about to change. I think that it's definitely the right step in the new next-gen direction as far as what the system could put. I mean, it's an 8-core freaking system.
8-core.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
The computing power. You know, and they're all, you know, 64 bit cores. So, I mean, the computing power is ridiculous. All right, so I'm going to be nerdy for a second.
That's okay.
You're talking over, you know, a teraflop of
a
computing
teraflop?
Yeah, it's a lot of flops. It's
teraflop.
Yeah, it's a teraflop. It's a lot of flops. It's a lot of flops, Panda, okay? It goes wicked fast.
Wicked fast.
It can do a lot of things at the same time.
Whoa.
Which is really important because when you're, for instance, fire and water, like those are the things that are really difficult to do in video games because they don't look realistic because there are so many moving pieces to
fire,
how we know
water.
How the human being perceives fire and water to work, right?
Yes.
So it's really difficult to do digitally unless you have a lot of computing power behind it.
So they're putting 8 cores in so that we could see more realistic fire and water?
Uh-huh. Exactly. Because you need to be able to do those elements more realistically in order to create better environments. And that demo that they did where Quantic Dream was showing off the old man face, which Ross, if you haven't checked it out, if you do a YouTube search for Quantic Dream at Sony's media briefing, you can get a really good feel for what people are going to look like. They've finally been able to address Deadeye.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. With a new system. It doesn't exist. And so they show a demonstration of an elderly man's face.
The, like, slight dip, like, the light coming into his eye and he recognizing it and, like, the slight lift of the brow when he's curious.
And it's all running in real time. Wow. And it actually looks like you're looking at a person.
An old dude who's about to tell you a story about
the eyes. You don't have Deadeye anymore. And a big piece of that is having to deal with how light and the liquid that is on the eye reflects with it. And that's been something that they haven't been able to really cure for the longest time. And it looks like Quantic Dream has figured it out.
Wow.
Well, but they made steps in that direction with Heavy Rain, though.
Absolutely, but we've talked about Heavy Rain being the one that probably has been the only game to push the PlayStation 3 to its limits.
Agreed.
Okay, you know, and so I think that technologically, as far as what it looks like developers are going to be able to deliver, the system's going to be really powerful, but I don't feel like it's light years ahead, you know? Like, the Ouya system, I felt like, was an innovation. But even at that, it's a Linux box. Yeah, it's on sale. You can buy them on Amazon now. But it's a Linux box. So you can run anything that can run on x86 on it. It's a Linux box.
Okay.
And that's why they can sell it for cheap, because it's an open source, you know, it's a little mini computer, which is what, you know, every console is.
Except, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, I just... Here's the be-all, end-all for me. At the end of the day, Sony's going to get my money. I'm going to pre-order one of these fuckers.
And then you'll play two games on it and never touch it like your PS3.
Ooh.
No, I'll probably play four games on it.
She'll play four games. She'll let it be the focal point of her, like, you know, her awesome den of awesome. And I'll be like,
in my man cave.
Are you playing that? And she'll be like, nah.
In my man cave. Now, hold on. Hold on just a hot minute. Just a hot minute. Okay, my PlayStation 3, it does see some action. It sees some action when there's an Uncharted game, when there's a God of War game, when there's a Sly game.
Okay.
Okay. And what's the other one I really like to play on that?
I don't know.
Little Big Planet.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Like those games. I'm one of the few people who liked Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, you and, like, the other four people.
And there's, like, five of us in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, I had to turn the six-axis control off, and then I liked it. With the six-axis on, I was like, no. But with the six-axis off, I was like, whee!
Ting Ting, whatever her name was, Zing Zang.
No, you played Twing Twang.
Twing to Twing Twang. I'm just saying. Just saying. Couldn't even give the woman a strong, confident name as a badass.
That's a game that you played with her that sucked. But for me, when I looked at the PlayStation 4, the reason why I don't play my PlayStation 3 as much, which we've talked about.
I know, but I'm just saying, you're going to have this beautiful console that can do
the multiplayer
godly things that will only do four godly things with before you put it.
Hold on. We've talked about the main reason why my Xbox gets more play than my PlayStation 3 is multiplayer, cross-game chat, and content that I want to play being on the platform. Okay? PlayStation 4 already has addressed three of those. Cross-game chat. Check. Multiplayer. Better. Check. Content I want to play. The only reason why I didn't do the second Infamous game was because it dropped at the same time as Radical's prototype game.
Yep.
And I had to choose between Prototype and Infamous. And somebody else on this team was going to do the Infamous review, so I took Prototype.
Well, that makes
sense. Do you remember who that was, Panda?
Me!
Yeah.
Well, because I got Infamous for free, because my fans loved me very much.
Okay. And so, otherwise, I would have done the Infamous review, and it would have been on the...
PS3.
Thank you. Okay. So I think that... Sony's addressing the right things, but I feel like these are all things that they could have addressed in the PlayStation 3.
They could have. And then there'd be more viability.
I mean, it has a camera bar that you can get with it. I'm like, okay, so now it has a Zoom. I mean, no, whatever.
PS4 now has a Kinect.
Yeah, it has a Kinect.
You could use a Vita, like a gamepad, so it's like a Wii U.
Yeah.
So it's essentially an amalgam of all the
consoles. It is. Like, if you go down all the features, they're like, we added a Kinect bar. It's not really a Kinect
It's a light bar sensor.
We're doing air quotes. Then you could use your Vita as a second screen, so you can, you know, through Wi-Fi, take your game and give somebody back control of the TV and continue playing your game on your Vita. So it's a fucking
Wii U gamepad.
So it's a Wii U gamepad. So they took that from that
console. I don't know
why
they didn't just make the Vita the PS4 gamepad and never made it its own standalone.
Exactly. They should have just said, we're renaming the Vita as the PS4 gamepad.
Wow.
And so I was just like, okay, so you took this from the Wii U, you took this from Microsoft. Like, you guys are supposed to be the innovators in the space, and it seems like you've kind of conceded that to these other two platforms. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to, one, at E3, see what this box is going to look like.
Yeah, you
see what the actual launch titles are going to be, because we all remember the road with the PS3 where they listed all these titles that were going to be launch titles, and then they weren't.
And then Lost Guardian went missing, and we haven't seen it since.
Look, I'm telling you right now, just like I said,
probably PS4 now.
Last Guardian is going to be a PS4 title.
Probably.
And that's why we haven't heard anything about it.
On that beastie thing, it was really pretty.
Okay, but that's why we haven't heard or seen anything about it. It's because it's going to be a PS4 title. I bet you that's Sony's going to leave with it at
E3. Another PS4 launch title. It's called Black Swan.
It's not Black Swan.
It's Black Swan.
Stop it. But are you much of a PlayStation guy, Ross? Or,
now that we've beaten you over the head with PS4.
No. I used to be. And that was actually, I was an Xbox guy. Yeah. But I had the last PlayStation platform I had was a PS2. And then I went to Xbox 360. But I have not touched a video game in about almost two years. And here's why. As my writing got more intense, it was video game playing was distracting me. Mm-hmm. So
Man. We understand.
Now that I've kind of found my rhythm, kind of found my way, kind of figured out how to balance, you know, writing with just everyday normal activities. I'm getting the system real soon, because there's a few games I haven't played Arkham City yet.
I've played Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm. I haven't played Amazing Spider-Man yet.
It's actually surprisingly good.
I haven't. What's another one that I haven't played that I want to play? I haven't played any of the BioShock games except
that Infamous is right around the corner.
Infinite, right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Infamous, BioShock Infamous.
That would be a hell of a mashup.
Whoa!
So I gotta get caught up. So I'm thinking what I'll probably do is just get a used PS3, hold off on the PS4 till next year, and then get one then.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the guy to stand in line in the cold.
Don't stand in no cold.
No, we don't stand in cold. If my American Express can't make it happen, then it just doesn't happen. It wasn't meant to be. I believe in Amazon pre-orders delivered to my door. That's what I believe in.
With a smile on your face.
Yes.
But, it definitely piqued my interest because I'm a racing game guy, and I saw deals from that PS4 racing game.
Yeah. Oh,
they showed...
Yeah, Race Club.
I think it was funny because I think when I saw that, I think I tweeted something like, if it's really realistic, where's the bird poop and the bugs, I miss Cruising USA.
That was such a good game.
I loved that game.
Yeah, I thought that the driving game, Drive Club, looked absolutely astonishing. And I immediately thought, okay, and it's going to be completely wasted on anything other than a 40-inch screen.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to see any of that detail.
No. Yeah, see, I couldn't play it on my 27-inch. It'd be depressing and sad.
Yeah, that's why you'd have to move your PlayStation. Wait, your PlayStation's already
on the big TV. Yeah, already on the big TV. And that's where it's going to sit!
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Ross. It's about time for us to start wrapping this puppy up. So I want to
swaddle
make sure
that puppy.
You gotta, like a newborn bib.
Swaddle it.
Swaddle the puppy. And make sure that you check out all the different stuff that we write about, think about, share on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can find all of the team's writings over there, and you can check us out for our podcast home, as always, at electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address is a bunch of the long one. You can check out any articles written within the week. All questions and comments go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Facebook.com/landofesh. Oh, yeah, this podcast, we do it.
That's right. We put brand new podcast episodes out typically on Mondays. You can find them by visiting the iTunes application on your desktop, the iTunes podcast application on your iOS mobile device, or the Microsoft Store if you got one of those devices, by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. But if you're not living la vida I, or you're not showing that Microsoft device any love, then you can always find us
plugging into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, we have friends you should be listening to, too.
Absolutely. Make sure that you check out our brand new podcast episodes every single Monday, except when we take vacations or somebody gets
sick.
Tuesday, follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, co-hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, the testosterone to our estrogen.
There is so much testosterone over
there's
there.
There's a lot of
testosterone. Like, you can't walk in going, oh, that's testosterone I smell.
Yeah, it's not Slim Jims.
It is intense.
It's Slim Jims.
Pungent, like Sex Panther.
Oh.
Oh.
Very 60%
much. 60% of the time, it works all the time.
Yeah. Oh, Sex Panther. Tuesdays. Wednesdays, make sure that you check out geekagra.com. It is held down by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. You gotta make sure that you're getting all your geek gear, nerdy stuff satiated over there. And then, newest member to the family, Issues Guys program. Any week now, Panda's gonna get that rolling.
I've scheduled the meeting to get him launched this week
with the Issues Guy. Until then, you can make sure to check him out on the Ustream live shows every week. Call in, participate. It's like
we all know you have issues. You should talk it out to somebody who's got just as many issues as you.
You definitely want to make sure that you're checking that out. And then for the rest of the week, Nerd Needs. We know you have them. We got you covered, guys. Twitter, Facebook. You can find us every place. ESH News on Twitter. Land of Esh on Facebook. Ask us questions. Join in the conversation. We're pretty much geeky, and we want to interact with you. So, that being said, I gotta ask, Panda.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week?
The Oscars.
Ooh. Well, by the time people have heard this, all the winners will be out. So
yeah, but I'm just talking about my experience with the Oscars, me wearing my pretty dress and live tweeting, pretending I'm important enough to be at the Oscars.
You're important enough. You just don't work in the industry. You're not one of the Academy members. You don't have a SAG card. You suck.
That's why I pretend. I guess technically I should just say my imagination. I'm digging my imagination because it lets me be anyone I want, whoever I want, whatever I want.
Okay. Alright, okay.
All right. What are you digging this week?
I was gonna ask Ross.
Ross, what are you digging this week?
I'm digging freaking Young Justice that's about to be canceled.
I know.
Yeah,
I kinda
heard.
Sad.
What's up with that, man?
Why do they take away all the things that I love?
I don't know, guys. But if you subscribe to Netflix, I hear it's all gonna be on Netflix like next month or something.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that.
I heard. So
yeah.
I feel like I should do a montage. I will remember. It have pictures from Young Justice.
You won't be able to put it on YouTube. Sarah McLachlan doesn't like her music being used for anything except sad dog photos.
Well, then maybe I could like half phase dogs into it.
Young Justice puppies.
Yeah, the puppy version.
Aww.
The puppy ears, yeah.
Mm, there you go.
All right. Well, what are you digging then now, Ninja?
You were just about to call me Pandalicious.
I was.
Yeah, there you go. See how easy that shit is?
It's called Ninja Syndrome. But what are you digging, Ninja?
Fluff and Utter sandwiches, because ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh.
Word. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I want to thank Russ Thibodeau for joining us. Make sure that you go out, you go to Indiegogo, search for Son of Black Star. We'll link it out, but you definitely...
We will make it super easy for you. Just click the damn link.
Help us make this happen, people.
Please.
Bye.
Bye-bye.